Blog Talk Radio.
From the studios of Teeing It Up in Fort Myers, Florida, this is Teeing It Up Presents, the Sunday Sprint for a Saturday, July 9th, the year 2015. It is Wild Card Weekend Saturday. Good morning, Luke Morrow.
Good morning.
The playoffs.
You know, every time I hear playoffs, I always think of Jim Mora in my head. But it's an exciting time, and it's sad that the regular season is over. It always goes so quick, but now you get into the postseason where the games are even more important and more fun, and this is what football is all about.
So clearly the game to watch golf during is Seattle and Minnesota, right?
Clearly, yes.
Okay. All right, here we go. I just had to do that to Luke because, you know, I'm stunned that his Vikings are so good, so I have to keep badgering at it because it still stuns me. One of the hottest teams in football, Kansas City, faces Houston at 4:35. That game can be seen today on ESPN or ABC and streaming live on Watch ESPN. Luke, hottest team probably in the AFC. You look at Arizona in the NFC, and then you look at Kansas City here in the AFC, and they have to go on the road because of the quirkiness of seeding in the NFL, and they'll be down in Houston against, what is it, their fourth quarterback, fifth quarterback? I've lost count.
Yeah, the Texans have used four quarterbacks, and you know, this is a matchup like I'll say the first three matchups this weekend that I think are good matchups because they fit two kind of even or equal teams against one another, especially these two. These two are based on their defenses. The offenses aren't anything special, and both of them came into the season relying on their running game, both suffering injuries to the running backs, and both with quarterbacks who don't really wow you. So with all that said, you know, I think the defense are both going to perform well. They've both averaged to allow about 13 points a game here over the second half of the season, and it's going to come down to which quarterback I think can make more plays. Now, oddly enough, I think I trust Alex Smith more in this situation. He's been there before. He's done it before. But for the Chiefs, the big thing for them is going to be protecting Alex Smith because that offensive line could be shaky at times, and obviously you have J.J. Watt on the other side.
But don't you think this actually is a better situation for Houston than some other opponent that they could have gotten? A, they're home. Brandon Whedon, you know, gets to be in a comfortable home environment. But number two, Kansas City doesn't wow you. As you said, they've got nice pieces, but they're not a team that is going to go, oh, my God, they've got all these weapons, like a Pittsburgh, for example, that I think would have been a much harder matchup for Houston.
Absolutely, and I think that's why everyone is so shocked or surprised with how hot the Chiefs ended the season, how a team like that could win 10 in a row. And people like to point to, you know, who they played, but in the NFL, it's never easy to win on one Sunday, let alone 10 consecutive Sundays. So the Chiefs are doing something right, and I think they deserve credit. But with that said, things could be a lot worse for the Texans. For one, they should be on the road, and you alluded to it earlier. But, you know, it's one thing. I'm fine with letting the division winners in, even if they have a sub-500 record. That's okay. But then to allow a team just because they won the division to host a home playoff game, I think is ridiculous. So I know the Texans aren't under 500. But regardless, they have the worst record. They shouldn't be at home. And that obviously provides a huge advantage for them against the Chiefs, home field advantage in the postseason. So, but the old cliche is getting hot at the right time. That's certainly the Chiefs, and we'll see if they can keep it going. They've already beaten the Texans. They beat them pretty good. That was way back in week one. These are two different teams since week one. But you know, the Chiefs are just playing excellent football right now.
The Texans have gone through a season's worth of quarterbacks, or actually, if you're the Giants, three seasons worth of quarterbacks, because the Giants have had Eli Manning on this insane streak for a while now. Speaking of that, before I ask a pick of this game, your thoughts on Tom Coughlin taking this Philly interview?
Very interesting, and that would certainly be a great storyline as he went over to Philly. But, you know, from my perspective, from that press conference, it seemed like he wasn't done coaching. It wasn't his decision, and he still wants to remain in the game. So not all that surprised that he's out there, you know, trying to find something.
To me, I don't think he takes that job. I think this is him being thorough, but it would just be so weird to see Tom Coughlin coaching in Philly. I don't think he takes that job. Your pick for Houston and Kansas City.
I'm going to go with Kansas City just because the way they've been playing late. I think they'll hold off the Texans in a defensive battle.
I'm going to take Houston, but I would love to see Kansas City win just for the fact that I think Eric Berry is a great story, and how far he could go as a cancer survivor would be very inspiring 1 year later for a lot of people. But I think Houston wins this game.
Yeah, absolutely on Eric Berry for sure.
Tonight on the CBS television network with Jim Nantz and Phil Sims, we have Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. No Andy Dalton, it'll be A.J. McCarron again, and no D'Angelo Williams for Pittsburgh in the backfield. And, Luke, to me, this is a game that Pittsburgh should win. They have clearly the pass weaponry to win that. And the question becomes, does an environment like Cincinnati hold them back? Does the fact that this is a road game hold Pittsburgh back? Because I think if this was at Heinz Field, I think it would be much more clearly that Pittsburgh would win this game.
Yeah, I can see that. And for Pittsburgh, they have some things to clean up. You know, they were pretty sloppy with the football the last few weeks of the season. Ben Roethlisberger had some, like, 6 interceptions in the last 3 games, some fumbles as well. The defense kind of got picked apart by Ryan Mallett and the Ravens. So Steelers needing to clean some things up this week, but I think when you bring in the quarterback situation in Cincinnati into the equation, obviously the Steelers are the better team. And it's interesting because we've talked all year and really in the history of the show, and I've certainly expressed my opinions on Marvin Lewis, his inability to win in the postseason and his success as a head coach, and how you get it back into the playoffs, you lose Andy Dalton, you have to rely on A.J. McCarron, who's only made a handful of starts. And good luck to the Bengals trying to beat the Steelers. But with Marvin Lewis to begin with, whether it's Dalton, Carson Palmer, your starter, your backup, whoever it is over the years, his teams in the postseason have been averaged to be outscored by something like 16 points a game. He's been outcoached year in and year out. His teams aren't ready to perform, and now you throw in a young quarterback, A.J. McCarron, who they've had to make things easy on him, hasn't been able to handle the whole offense. Now you're asking a lot for him to outshoot Big Ben tonight.
Do you think that Marvin Lewis gets fired if they lose today?
I don't think so. I think it should be considered. I think he should have been fired already, but I don't see the Bengals doing that. They're infatuated with him.
Me too. All right, I think Pittsburgh wins this game. Who wins this game, Luke?
Yeah, Steelers.
Your Vikings at home in what could be one of the coldest games in NFL history tomorrow against Seattle. That's 1:05. That's on NBC. That is the first 1 p.m. NBC game since 1997. It's been a while, Luke, since they had a 1 p.m. The V playoffs 98, but it's the 97-98 season. It has been a while since NBC had a game in this time slot. Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth will be there for that one. No Marshawn Lynch, stunningly, did not board the plane, told the Seahawks he could not go. For me, that could be a game changer, and I think that gives your Vikes a lot better shot. I would have given them a better shot than I already would have because of the cold, but I think this just elevates it one step.
And it's a very interesting development because on Wednesday we heard Pete Carroll saying he was good to go. You know, with no question, pretty much calling it a lock that we would see Marshawn Lynch. And then, you know, Friday comes around, and that's not the case anymore. And not only did they make the decision on Friday, he didn't board the plane to go with the team and leave it up to a game-time decision. So, you know, you assume it must be something serious to make that call Friday and not give him the extra 2 days, bring him along, see if he can make it a go on Sunday. So, you know, for the Seahawks, down to your third-string running back, it'll be interesting. But it helps when you have a guy like Russell Wilson in the backfield. This is going to be the coldest game, obviously, he's played in his career. Only the second time he's ever played in weather below 32 degrees. So we'll see if that has any effect. Played as one of the best quarterbacks in the league here in the second half of the season. And the focus, obviously, will be on him.
I think this is Marshawn being Marshawn, or is this genuine injury?
I would like to think a genuine injury. I mean, this is the postseason. This is the time to gear up and get ready to go. And So I would like to think that in order for him to be held back like that and for him to make that decision, it has to be serious. But, you know, I've never been a fan of Marshawn, so who knows with him.
What's your take on your Vikings? This is obviously a huge game in the history of the franchise for obvious reasons. You know, this part of the franchise's history, moving into a new stadium in the post-Favre era, et cetera. But what's your take on this team now that you've beaten a Packer team that was in shambles and now you're in as the NFC North champions and you have this game, and you have a team certainly that has the talent to do it, but do you believe you're ready to do it?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because they are very young, and we've seen the team has responded well, such as last week in Green Bay, to the big spots in the second half of the season. But still, Teddy Bridgewater seems to be too amped up. I mean, last week in Green Bay and throughout the season, in big moments, he seems to be a little too excited and has overthrown his targets and came out and played pretty poorly against Green Bay last week. In fact, he's probably the worst game of his career. But it's promising to see the Vikings beat the Packers when your quarterback throws for less than 100 yards. Now, that may not work tomorrow because the Seahawks are a lot better team than Green Bay, but it was a good test for the Vikings in that they played an offense in which they had to contain the quarterback in the pocket and they had to slow down the run game. And that's the same thing they're going to have to do tomorrow, even if it's not Lynch back there, even if it's a third-string running back. Slow down the run game, keep Wilson in the pocket, and make them one-dimensional as well as Russell Wilson's been playing. I'd like to take my chances if the Vikings are able to do those other things. Fortunately, they'll be healthy this time on defense.
At 4:40 tomorrow on the Fox Television Network with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman in his Green Bay, the aforementioned Packers and Washington. This is a Green Bay team that's in shambles. I don't know what the heck has happened to them. They put up an ugly performance last week. Some thought it may have been on purpose because losing gets them Washington instead of Seattle. Or instead of somebody, I don't know. Seattle. I don't know what the heck happened to them. All I know is this to me is a horrible matchup for Green Bay, having to travel all this way. They're facing a Washington team that's got all this excitement, momentum. Kirk Cousins finally has kind of become the man entrenched in this role. I do think we're looking at a situation where if Aaron Rodgers can get hot early, the pressure shifts to Washington from Green Bay, but on the surface, this is a nasty game for Green Bay.
Yeah, I think so, because I just don't think Green Bay is very good this year. But I think it lines up nicely for Washington, because for the Packers offensively, their Achilles heel has been the offensive line, and Washington should be able to get pressure on Rodgers with their pretty solid front seven. And then for the Packers defensively, it looks like they'll be without Sam Shields again tomorrow, and that's a big loss because they're very young, inexperienced, not very good in the secondary. And Kirk Cousins has actually been outplaying Aaron Rodgers, so he should be able to take advantage. So I like this matchup for Washington at home against the Packers. The things that Washington does well, Green Bay does not, and so I think that's why it leans in their favor.
I assume you believe that the Vikings win.
No comment.
Okay, so you will not make a pick. You'll be like Kirk Herbstreit. Not that you're calling the game, but pick.
Yes, exactly.
I believe you are hinting that Washington will win.
Yeah, I'm taking Washington at home.
In a stunning development, I will pick the Vikings and I will pick the Packers.
Wow. I like it.
And I'm not saying that because that's honestly what I believe. I believe this will be a choke-like job for Washington. A couple things here. Jordan Spieth is a four-shot lead in Hawaii. Do you have any comments?
Wow. Big news. That's all I got.
And secondly, you got 20 seconds. Peyton Manning's back at quarterback for the Broncos. Was it the right move?
I guess so. You know, I thought Osweiler played well. I thought the hook came a little too early. But for the postseason, even with Peyton's struggles in the past, I guess I'd rather have that experience.
Just look at what he was able to do with the running game, with the calls. He got offsides. He got them all. He got them all disheveled. For that reason only. Yes, Peyton's arm looked good, but for that reason only, I think you have to stick with Peyton. He brings another dimension to this offense. It's crucial, especially in playoffs, when guys get too giddy and are more susceptible to jumping offsides.
Yeah, I agree.
Luke, thanks as always. We'll see you next week.
My pleasure.
Enjoy your wild card weekend, everybody.